Do you know what it takes to set up a business selling crickets to be ground into flour in the state of Utah? Or one that sells cat litter made from tofu in Hawaii? Yeah, me either. But someone does, and that someone is today's sponsor, Northwest Registered Agent. They can answer all your questions, from what licenses you need to turn bugs into food, or how to set up an LLC for your yarn dyeing business. Whatever weird, wonderful, slightly unhinged thing you're trying to sell, these are your people. Northwest Registered Agent has been helping small business owners and entrepreneurs launch and grow businesses for nearly 30 years. They are the largest registered agent and LLC service in the United States, with over 1,500 corporate guides, real people who know your local laws and can help you and your business every step of the way. Don't pay hundreds or thousands of dollars for what you can get from Northwest for free. Visit northwestregisteredagent.com/happensfree and start using free resources to build something amazing. Get more with Northwest Registered Agent at northwestregisteredagent.com/happensfree.
Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Jeff's rugby team will depart in 5 minutes from platform 15. Your ride comes with 6 toilets and a refreshments carriage that you'll empty within 5 minutes. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
Hey everyone, welcome to another snack size edition of our show, How Success Happens. I'm Dan Bova, writer and editor at entrepreneur.com. And the word snack is particularly relevant to this week's episode. But before we get to that, every episode I ask you all, hey, write into howsuccesshappens@entrepreneur.com or leave us a comment. Let us know how you feel about the show. And a bunch of people have been. So I wanted to shout out Amina, who wrote in about the episode featuring John Paul DeJorio, the guy who started Patron, among many other things. She quoted him when he said, "Success unshared is failure. There will always be people more in need than you." And she says, "What powerful words." Powerful words indeed. And thanks so much for listening and for writing in, Amina. So let's get to today's episode. I alluded to snacking, a favorite hobby of mine. Well, today we're diving into a story that starts in a small Wisconsin meat operation and ends with one of the biggest names in protein snacks on the planet. Troy Link is the CEO of Link Snacks. This is a second-generation leader who turned a Wisconsin family recipe into a roughly $4 billion global protein empire. That is decidedly more than a snack. That, ladies and gentlemen, that's a full meal. Now, as a former baseball dad, I have purchased many, many, many Jack Links in my day. So I was very excited to talk to the man whose company saved me from stuffing my face with chips all the time. And as big a company and brand as it is, Jack Links started with a very scrappy entrepreneurial journey. So I kicked off our conversation asking Troy to give us the Jack Links origin story.
Jack Links is a family-owned and operated business. Jack Links is a real live person, my father. I also have a son named Jack. There's a couple of them around that I have to report to and work for. But yeah, technically, I'm second generation. I like to think of myself as G1A because I've been there since the very early days with my father building this great business. And we came from a meat family. My grandfather had large meat departments at his grocery store and built a slaughterhouse for animals and did all of his own hot dogs and bratwurst and German sausages. And so my father bought that out of the family business in the early 80s when, actually it was the late 70s, early 80s when the interest rates went really high. The family's business got in tough shape. So my father said, "Hey, I'm going to go it alone in the meat business." He continued with the slaughterhouse business, had a large deboning line where he'd buy in half carcasses and take all the red meat off the bones. So I grew up in that environment along with a dairy farm. So I've got a long history with cattle. Grew up knife in hand, understanding how protein interacts with our lives and how important that it is, as well as all the different things you can do with it. So how we got going in meat snacks is that business was a really tough business. And my dad ended up filing bankruptcy. He was 40 years old. And I was, I think, 15 or somewhere around there, 14, 15. And we had all this meat and we had all these family recipes and we had messed around making jerky. And I used to buy jerky at the gas station when we'd get done with our activities, the father-son activities. And he'd get mad at how much I'd pay for these little brands that were homemade around. And so I always said, we'll make it. So one day he started making it and we had thousands of pounds of meat. We had smokehouses and knowledge. And so that's really how it got started, was just pure entrepreneurism. Hey, I need to do something different because my current business is not working. And what are the tools that I have available to me? And my dad is a phenomenal entrepreneur and phenomenal startup business guy. You know, there's nobody better at driving a basic P&L than him.
Don't you wish you came from a meat family? How cool is that? Anyway, so as the company started growing, there's always this push and pull of what do you dive into, what do you explore as new opportunities, and what do you just like hyper-focus on? So I asked Troy if he could talk a bit about that. What is the special sauce that has made Jack Link's so dominant?
Yeah, special sauce has been really, can you do it? Do you want to do it? And do you have the grit to do it? And yes, we could do it. We've got a lot of generations of meat knowledge in our family. We had all the equipment to do it. Did we want to do it? Absolutely. My father wanted to do it because he needed to make a business successful. I wanted to do it because I wanted to make my mark on the industry and supply great protein. It's a wonderful product because we're so proud of it all the time. It's not like it's a bad for you product. It's a great for you product. And natural protein is really hitting trend. And then do you have the grit to do it? And our special sauce is really, my dad will tell you, it's soap and water in the facilities. Our facilities are hospital clean because we really take pride in a very sanitary, so we don't have to add a lot of other ingredients to our products. We can produce products that only have three ingredients. We can produce products without potassium sorbate or different things to make them shelf stable. So he would tell it's as simple as soap and water. But I think our secret sauce is we're very focused on protein snacking. And we don't spend a lot of time deviating from that. We're very close to where the consumer's been going and wants to go. Obviously, when Dr. Atkins came out with Atkins Diet, that was a big, huge aha moment. And protein trends have went up and down a little bit since then. Of course, I got nervous when the USA Today ran an article about nitrites and nitrates possibly causing this and that, but it wasn't really backed by anything and it kind of blew over and now meat's back front and center again. But there's always noise. I grew up, salt was bad, then salt was good, salt was bad, now salt's good, butter, fat, now fat. We're supposed to fry everything in natural fats and we're supposed to have more fat in our diet. Food trends shift, but we've never had to really chase trends because natural protein has always been based on being good for you. And even news might go against it, but now we're right back into the front and center of the food pyramid. And people know that lean, healthy protein is really good for you.
So Jack Link's just made a huge bet on a new $450 million plant. And it turns out a lot more than that. So I asked Troy, how do you deal and cope with risk when you are talking about stakes that are that high?
Yeah, that's just one plant too. We built another greenfield plant in Germany at the same time. We added automation into three other facilities at the same time, put a huge addition on our jerky facility relatively the same time. And really, I would just say, listen, if you were scared of risk, you'd sell the business, right? That's why a lot of family businesses don't get scalable and sizable, because if you start weighing out risk, I always tell people, well, I was just too dumb to even look at that. We just continue to invest in ourselves and we're not scared of risk. Coming out of the whole COVID crisis, we were so sold out and we couldn't serve our customer. And I'd been through that in a smaller scale, but I was like, man, we are not going to get caught up in this again. We are going to invest in ourselves moving forward. And what separates us from most of our competitors is that we actually produce our own products. So we control everything from the cow to the consumer. And Most of our competitors don't. They've got a contract with some manufacturing plant that produces some stuff on their behalf. And if they don't sell enough, they just scale it back or whatever. So in our business, we've got a lot of people working out in facilities that we know very well and we care a lot about. And they're the lifeblood of our business. And so we really invested in front of where the category was going because we didn't want to get caught up with not being able to serve the customer.
So if you are a NASCAR fan, you are probably well aware that there is a race called the Jack Links 500. Now, I know I said that having a meat family is cool, but having a NASCAR race named after you and your business, my God, that is really cool. So I asked Troy, what does that feel like to show up at a race named after something that was started by your dad?
I wasn't able to go last year, and I went to the Jack Links 500 this year, and it was just amazing. And the emotion, the energy, and the thankfulness of all the race fans for supporting what they love, watching people smile when they see your product, going to all these different places and seeing your product in the stores. And I think back when we first started, I was working so hard to get an item in a store or two items in a store or even get a distributor to list us. And now I walk into every store and I have an expectation and I'm like, wow, is the glass half full or half empty? But you do have to set expectations. You have to set higher expectations the more successful you are. The reality is when I walk into a C-store, I want to see 20 plus SKUs. When I walk into a grocery store, I want to see 20 plus SKUs. And we have a huge line of products from A to Z and multiple brands. And we've got products that are after different consumer need states. So expectations have gone up. But at the end of the day, me personally, I sit back. I was talking to my father. We spent Mother's Day this last weekend together and with my mom and just talking about all the funny stories and some of the times back on the initial trade shows when nobody knew and we had one or two items and what we've been able to do with it. And catching lightning in a bottle is the only phrase that I could use. And it hasn't been easy. Nothing's easy. We've been very focused, very dedicated. We've taken on a lot of risks. We've employed a lot of people. We've changed a lot of people's lives, including ourselves. And we've created a phenomenal brand, a phenomenal business, and we're very proud of the items that we produce. And yeah.
Yeah, indeed. Well, delicious and nutritious advice right there. Thanks so much, Troy. You know, all this talk about snacking has got me peckish, so it is time to close up this episode and thank you for listening, subscribing, checking out our YouTube channel that's over at Entrepreneur Podcast on the old YouTube, and signing up for our free newsletter at info.entrepreneur.com/HSH. And now, I don't want to jinx anything, but I'm recording this outro on Friday, June 12th. And it would be ever so wonderful if on the day that this episode comes out, June 14th, that we have a new NBA champion. You know what? Never mind. Jinxing it. Forget it. Erase. Never mind. I didn't say anything. See you next time.